Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Everything we do it for you.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
You've been wondering, you've been tweeting, when are you guys going to do your next football podcast? Well, we had a good reason for the delay. Jamie was at the owners' meetings in Arizona, and he's got a lot of really good stuff. I'm sure you've been reading it on the website. If you haven't, shame on you. But we're going to talk about it today on the podcast. Adam Azer in person here with Dave, Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Do you think people believe that you're actually here in person?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, let's just make sure.
Here we go. Dave, I have a development for you. You know what?
I don't know if I should have tickled you.
Remind me mid-show. Mid-show, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to kind of blow your mind a little bit. Jamie, welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. How are you?
I know a lot of travel for you, and we appreciate you coming in today. You just got back from Phoenix, right?
I got off the plane at 10 a.m. because I had some travel issues yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And we are recording at 1 o'clock. So I went home.
Wow.
I showered after basically 24 hours of sitting in an airport.
Too much information.
And I had a quick peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's the rage these days.
And then I came here.
Yeah, it is the rage these days. All right, so listen, I want to start with some football stuff here. And we'll ask Jamie about his trip. And he's going to, today we're doing AFC. Tomorrow we plan on doing NFC. We should have two shows for you this week. But which quarterback would you rather have, okay? Quarterback A or quarterback B? I'll give you some context. Quarterback A averaged 25. Quarterback A averaged 25.5 fantasy points per game. Quarterback B averaged 26.25. So quarterback B was 0.75 fantasy points better. That's 6 points per passing touchdown.
This is both last year?
Yeah. Quarterback.
You're trying to figure out who it is?
I just don't say it. Even if you figure it out, let the listeners think about it. So quarterback B slightly better on a per game basis. And quarterback B had 8 games with more than 25 fantasy points. Quarterback A only had 4 games with more than 25 fantasy points. So big advantage, right?
I think I know just because I know the numbers on this.
All right, so
I'll let Dave guess.
The last thing is this. While quarterback B clearly has an advantage now, quarterback A only had 3 games with less than 20 fantasy points. Quarterback B had 6 games with less than 20 fantasy points. So they were pretty similar on a per-game basis, less than 1 fantasy point, but quarterback A was much more consistent. Quarterback B, 6 games with fewer than 20, 8 games with more than 25. So this kind of like people they value consistency in fantasy. Who would you rather have, quarterback A or quarterback B?
Which one's the more consistent one?
A.
I like them both.
Yeah, they're both good.
You know, and
they're both top 5.
And I like that quarterback B. The fact that he had more fantasy points per game, it's less than a point of a differential. But I like the fact that he had 8 games with more than 25 fantasy points, which means in those 8 games, he probably would have put you over the top to a win in your league. So I don't like the fact that
he had... What about those 6 games where we might have lost it for
you? Hopefully the rest of my team could make it up for me. Consistency
is great. You
going with
B?
I'll go with B.
All right, who do you think they are?
Roethlisberger?
No. Quarterback B? Who do you think?
The first thing I was going to say was Luck and Brady.
Luck and Breeze.
I mean, they had to be top 5 guys.
They were Luck was 4th and Breeze was 5th, and Breeze played one more game. Well, Breeze was 3rd.
The reason
played one more game.
I meant to ask you before I guessed. When you said top 5, did you mean top 5 points per game or top 5 overall?
Overall.
Yeah, that's what screwed me up.
Okay. But they weren't top 5 points per game?
I don't know
Luck might not have been.
Cuz Brady was clearly not top 5. He was the 15th best quarterback.
Okay.
Now,
it's interesting.
So
though.
Luck was quarterback A.
Yeah, Luck was quarterback A.
So you said 4 games with more than 25. He also had 2 games with exactly 25.
He did.
Yeah.
So okay, I had to figure out the numbers
and quarterback
somehow. But that
B was
the thing
Breeze.
About owning Luck. It was like I was actually a little frustrated knowing who they are now. I would have rather have owned Drew Brees because Luck frustrated me. I always wanted him to go off and win a week for me, and it very rarely happened.
Right.
It happened in week one. And it pretty much only happened twice the rest of the season.
I really like what the Colts have done, but they need to do just a little bit more.
Like Luck.
Just a little bit more, just in terms of what they're building. I like what Chris Ballard's put together. I think their defense is going to be better. I think their offensive line gets a little bit of a knock if you look at the way they played toward the end of the season. It was much better than at the beginning of the season. You know, certainly when Kelly started to take hold of the center position, you know, rookie out of Alabama. I like the addition of Kamar Aiken. I think that gives them 4 capable receivers, two potentially elite guys, two guys that kind of play a role. I like the fact that they kept Jack Doyle. They just need to, one, address the running back spot. Pagano talked about that. He said getting younger at the position is, I think he said, paramount.
Yep.
But he also talked very glowingly about Gore, which was, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, patting the guy in the back and you know, saying good job. He's potentially, I think he's sixth or seventh on the all-time rushing list right now. He can climb to fourth. He's only 1,000-plus yards away from fourth all-time. So he's a Hall of Famer. And
I was about to say, Frank Gore doesn't strike me as a Hall of Famer.
No, but he is a very Curtis Martin-esque type career, Jerome Bettis-esque type career.
Yeah, very steady.
You know, guys, yeah, exactly. And I think he's put himself in the conversation. So we'll see where he ends up. But it's a very interesting team to look at. And arguably, one of the best divisions in football. You don't really think about that with the AFC South. If the Texans get a quarterback of worth, Titans are certainly proven to be... Bill O'Brien talked about Colin Kaepernick, too, which would be very interesting.
Oh, God.
Romo would certainly make that team elite. Jacksonville's done a lot of nice
things. They're up and coming. Tennessee's up and coming. One of those teams has to finish last.
It's not bad.
It's
a good division.
And the Colts.
It's a fun division.
It's funny because and the NFC South, I spent a lot of time with Pete Prisco. He just wrote for today about how the Bucks.
He called them the division winners.
He did. And
wait, they're going to win the division?
He predicted that they will win the NFC.
He said that, he complimented the Saints and the moves that they made. Certainly gave credit to the Falcons. I think right now, unfortunately, just when you take a step back from it, the Panthers look like the worst team.
Yeah.
You can argue they're the best. I mean, it's one of those things. But it's a situation where the Bucs defense looked really good last year. They potentially could add to it. Or they could go a different route in the first round. Pete thinks defense. A lot of people think maybe Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey.
Is Andrew Luck... If he doesn't make the start of training camp, they take it slow with him.
That's what they indicate.
It depresses his fantasy value a little bit, and it might make him one of the best bargains on draft day.
I did a radio spot in Buffalo while I was out in Arizona and talking about Sammy Watkins, and they also asked because I wrote the story on it was for our NFL media, not our fantasy media, about Andrew Luck's situation. And Dave, you know, you alluded to it with the not being ready for training camp. Sammy Watkins, Andrew Luck, these guys, when they're coming off of injuries, if you don't see something from them, and you could throw Cam Newton in there as well, I just think Cam's probably at the back end of this for me.
He's having shoulder surgery today, right?
March 30th, so tomorrow.
Today's
March 30th.
Today?
So, yes, he's having shoulder surgery today for a partially torn
rotator cuff.
It's okay. The rotator cuff.
So
it's his throwing shoulder.
But he's coming off of a bad year, and that's not a good thing. He lost a big weapon for him, Ted Ginn. Ron Rivera talked about running for him. We can get it to camp.
You weren't even being sarcastic when you said big weapon for him, Ted Ginn. Like, a lot of times we make silly jokes about
Ted
Ginn.
No, it is a big weapon.
But he's,
he's
kind of becoming one of my favorite late round sleepers. And he was big for Cam 2 years ago. And then last year he helped out too. You're right.
But the thing about it is, Adam, to your point, it depresses his value in a good way. Because
Luck. Okay.
Or did you say it, Dave? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Luck.
I don't know who's about his value. Anyway.
I'm Adam.
Sorry.
Did you fly the plane from Phoenix to Florida? I mean, what's going on? I understand that you're...
No. We hadn't talked about Luck yet.
Luck's situation puts him in a good spot fantasy-wise because, to me, he was the number two quarterback before Brady got Cooks, and now he's third. But I think it's a very solidified third. Because Breeze lost a big weapon. I don't trust Matt Ryan coming back to repeat his performance. I think Andrew Luck's going to be fantastic and a great bargain.
Yeah, so we've got some quarterback news to get to with both Cam Newton and Andrew Luck having shoulder surgery. This is the number one quarterback from 2014, Luck, and the number one quarterback from 2015, Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm. Luck, I just wanted to mention this. He's been in the top three in consistency each of the last 3 years. So when he's on the field and he's playing... He's delivering big fantasy points for your team.
Okay, good to know. We got Martavis Bryant apparently going to be reinstated soon. Some news on Adrian Peterson. But we are going to focus mostly on the AFC stuff that Jamie got. And then we'll do the NFC tomorrow. Most interesting AFC item from the owner's meeting.
Wow. I'm sorry for not having something.
No, that's okay. So, look, you have running. You got Tennessee's running game you wrote about. You wrote about Baltimore's running game. You wrote about Lamar Miller. You wrote about the Broncos quarterbacks.
How about Spencer Ware?
Corey
Coleman?
Corey Coleman
was interesting to hear Hugh Jackson talk. Now, just to set the scene for this, so the reason you're saying AFC, because they do separate days with each coach. So they do an hour with every AFC coach, minus Bill Belichick, who wasn't there. And then they do an hour with every NFC coach. It actually worked out in my favor because I bounce around to every table. The meetings ended early. So four NFC coaches spoke the night of when the AFC coaches speak. So I had some extra time with Ben McAdoo, with Jay Gruden, with Jason Garrett, and John Fox. So it actually helped me out a little bit. But so with the AFC thing, it's I don't get to spend a lot of time with coaches, and there were, I think, three that I missed for sure. But it's kind of trying to read through the BS of coach speak. And a lot of times, you know, Adam, what do you think of Dave? Dave's the greatest person. Dave will leave the room. You're by yourself.
Oh, Dave's great, yeah.
And you're MFing Dave, you know, up and down for whatever reason. You just spit on your computer, by the way.
I did.
Yeah,
I'm looking for it on the screen. I think I found it.
So you just have to sort of, you know, try and read between the lines. And one thing, you know, that asking the question was Andy Reid talking about Spencer
that
Ware.
That was really stood out to me, just reading your stuff, like Andy Reid being high on Spencer Ware. Oh, why? Like,
that's how I feel.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it's somewhat by default. You know, I mean, you look at what they have on their roster right now. The only guy that they brought in was CJ Spiller. We kind of know how that is, and you don't have to listen to Heath berate you on that one.
Yeah.
So I think it's the tail end of his quote was there's a role for him, and it's a very deep running back draft. They're not spending a first round pick on a running back. But at some point, they may consider somebody. I don't think it's going to be Joe Mixon after what happened with them by taking Tyreek Hill. So who could it be? And so once you get past the top three guys, which at this point everybody knows of Fournette, Cook, and McCaffrey, and then, you know, is Kamara, am I saying his name right?
Kamara, but I don't think he's going to be the fourth.
He was the fourth, at least going into the combine. So, you know, we'll see. You would say Mixon's the fourth?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm again, taking Mixon out of the equation.
Yeah, he saying that there's a role for Ware, like Ware is a running, like he's an NFL running back. I think that's the point is,
yeah, yeah. You know, he spoke highly of him. He said how much he likes him and the little things that he does. It's just, is he the main guy for them? And I think when you look at it, you know, you look at his numbers, pre-concussion, he was doing a good job. Post-concussion, he didn't exactly look the same. So it's kind of, who is he? Can he be a good fantasy guy? And it's funny, I have there's another fantasy analyst that Dave and I, you know, talked to. His name is Justin Lanero. He sent me a message just coincidentally the day of my column posting, and I thought he read my column, but he didn't. And he said, why do you have Ware so low in your rankings? And, you know, I'm mid-teens. A lot of people think that Ware is like could be this elite level guy because of Andy Reid's history.
No.
I don't see it.
He had a whole year to prove it, and he was. Look, I know that Ware's fantasy – nobody thinks that, right?
No, well, I don't.
I don't want to speak for the podcast here, that he could be an elite guy, Ware.
I don't even know if he could be a very good guy.
Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing. I don't want to speak for somebody else.
He would have to score a lot of touchdowns, and I know that was a big problem for Ware.
He's a good dual threat.
But he's not – explosive. He didn't make big plays. He wasn't a game changer. He was just sort of like a very average running back, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think the point would be is he could catch the ball. You know, he showed that 2 years ago. He showed it last year. He can work at the goal line, and he's in a good system because of what Reed has done with guys that he's coached.
And he did better probably in fantasy, like on a per game basis in 2015 than 2016.
He wasn't horrible. Most of the time.
This year? This past year?
In terms of his fantasy production.
No, he certainly wasn't horrible. He was like 7-8 points every time. You know,
very consistently.
Because he never scored. But I'm just saying, you look at Spencer Ware, and he got a lot of work, and he got his opportunity. At this point, where is the untapped potential? Like, don't we know what Spencer Ware is? We saw that. We saw the audition. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, three games at the end of the season.
If we come out of April 30th and he is still number one on the depth chart, he is as solid as a number two running back as you will find in fantasy football because of who he plays for and what his role will be and how many touches he will get.
Right, and I can't buy into Andy Reid saying what he's saying as 100% truth. It might be the truth right now, but the draft is still about to happen.
Sure, but if we get past...
Because he was telling me at the Pro Bowl that Jamal Charles is his guy.
We get past we get past round one. I'm almost certain they're not taking a running back. It would make be a mistake for their
It would roster. Have to be... If they get into day three without a running back, then I would feel a lot better about
Right. Once we get into day three and who's left on the board and what the person is... You know, is it a Tyler Irvin type of guy? You know, I don't know all the... Because I haven't got really
into the draft. Yeah, I can't imagine them looking for somebody like that when they've got Tyreek.
Is it a... But what I'm saying, is it a backup, special teams, still has to prove himself to make the roster type of guy?
And that's a day three type of
guy. Or
pick.
Is it...
They're not taking that on day two.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So where's...
Any day two pick is something the team wants to address.
Which could be running back.
For Kansas City, absolutely.
But it may not be.
I want to know how come you're ruling them out for McCaffrey.
I just think they have other needs.
I feel like most teams that take a running back have other needs, but...
If Andy Reid thinks that he's special, he's taking him. Andy Reid's track record isn't to take a running back in the first round. It's just not what he does. So Reid and Dorsey, their GM, would both have to agree that one of those running backs, Cook, Fournette, McCaffrey, would be special for them to make a move.
And can McCaffrey really... I mean, can Tyreek Hill and McCaffrey kind of be similar if you don't view McCaffrey as a...
I bet you could look at McCaffrey and say he can hold up a little longer than Hill.
He's more of a running back, clearly, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think a lot of people view him as this is a 20 carry guy.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
No, he's not Zeke.
I think if he's going in the if he's going in the first round, somebody's looking at him as a 20 touch guy.
Unless it's Denver.
I wonder if people view him as like a C.J. Spiller. 20 touch and 20 carry would be very different.
Right.
Oh, he's not a 20
no,
carry.
No, he's definitely
That's
not.
What I'm saying.
I think you could do it in a pinch.
Nobody's really – very few people are 20 carry. But even
Leonard
like, even like 7
is
or 8
a 20 carry guy.
Fournette's going to the Jaguars.
And
that's a lot of work. But yeah,
Foreman is too. I think he could be that guy.
All right, listen, let's move it along here. Interesting Chiefs discussion. No Heath, and we spent that much time on the Chiefs. All right, let's just get to these news and notes, right? So Cam's having shoulder surgery, Luck shoulder surgery, already had it. And I think what was interesting is Jim Irsay saying that Luck's shoulder was more of an issue than what we were led to believe during the season.
Well, of course
he missed practice almost every week.
But he said he was like constantly in the trainer's room. So it was a big deal for him.
Yes.
He played hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and I think that speaks – you know, like Dave said, his consistency factor is very good. His production overall was very good. They gave him another weapon this year in Aiken. You know, whatever you think of Kamari, can forget about it, but it's another guy that can make plays for him. They keep Jack Doyle. They, you know, take away Dwayne Allen, but, you know, I think you see their tight end group, and it's maybe not necessarily addition by subtraction, but it's still keeping the better receiver of the two. So there's still a lot to like about him. Plus, as much as they're trying to improve their defense, it's still a nondescript defense that's going to probably leave Luck in a lot of positions to have to throw the ball.
And as far as Cam goes, it's funny that he's definitely got the injury-prone label. Cam Newton has missed 3 games in 6 seasons.
One was as a result of a car accident.
Yeah. So he gets banged up, but he plays through it a lot.
They have some offensive line issues. You know, you heard Rivera say...
They have big offensive line
You heard Rivera
issues,
say
yeah.
at the combine that he wants them to run less, and that was proven last year when the rushing touchdowns came down. And so now you're asking a 58% career passer to have to win games, win fantasy games for you throwing the ball. And as we talked about, they lose Ted Ginn, who has not been replaced yet. So they also lose, you know, for what it's worth, Corey Brown. So you're talking about Kelvin Benjamin, who I asked Ron Rivera about, you know, and he said, you know, we'll get into this more tomorrow, but, you know, he said he expects him to take the next step. You know, this is really his third year because he missed his sophomore year. I always like when coaches reaffirm mm-hmm. when I asked him about it. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's a big year for him. and this is a team I think that you could look at and say running back as well. Ron Rivera has been to, I think, all of the pro days for the big run. I don't think he was at Dalvin Cook's because of the timing of it, but he said he's
Bill
going.
Bill Belichick was.
He says he's going to Fournette. So I believe they pick 8th, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken. And if Fournette slips, I think, past Jacksonville, this could be a spot for him, which we would hate because it'd be a tandem. He also spoke about Stuart Bogans on more tomorrow.
Okay. And I just, you know, with Cam Newton, it was a decline in rushing yards. His first 4 games of the season, Cam Newton averaged 36, just about 37 yards per game. Over 16 games, 604 yards based on those first 4. And that's pretty much what he did in 2015. So he was running the ball as usual. Then he missed the 5th game of the season. Was that with the concussion?
Yes.
And then he came back, and he rushed for 30 or more yards only four more times in his final 11 games. He rushed for less than 10 yards five times in those 11 games. Cam Newton more or less stopped running.
He went from 35 passing touchdowns to 19. And Rivera, you know.
He went from number one quarterback in fantasy to number 19.
Ron Rivera was as honest as a coach as you'll hear, and I believe it was Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network who said, you know, you seem to be just owning your mistakes and very open to talking about things that you feel you need to do better and the team needs to do better. And one thing he said was, he's like, Cam's, I don't know the exact quote, he said Cam's confidence was shook. That's not something you want to hear, you know, about a guy. You know, they're trying to rebuild his confidence.
It's just such a shame that they didn't really improve their offensive line in free agency, did they?
They lost a tackle.
They lost Khalil? Or they brought in
they
Khalil?
Brought in Khalil.
They brought in Khalil. Okay. And this is a bad line. This is a bad draft for offensive linemen. So he was hopeless last year. I hope it's better this year.
Can you get excited drafting him, knowing that
in
the
like,
offensive line's
in like
not
the
good?
Eighth round, I could get excited.
He's not a number one quarterback for me.
He's not.
No. Mm-hmm.
We've made that mistake before, though, with Cam.
We made it in his MVP year. But yeah. But there are things that you can look at and say.
And Matt Ryan.
There are things yep. that you can look at and say, yeah, but those guys were not. They're you know, Cam's trending down.
Is he? He was just the best quarterback in football 2 years ago.
Yes, and then they stripped away a lot of things for him. And we thought he'd be better because you get Calvin Benjamin back.
They're going to draft a wide receiver, though.
They have to.
And Benjamin's going to be better.
I'd love to see it with him.
I'm spending a lot of time away from the heart of the show. So Martavis Bryant, Dave, reinstatement is imminent, according to multiple outlets. Or the Beaver County Times was the one cited on Roto-World. But
I have a quote from Tomlin if you want it.
Okay, yeah. Bryant has, in 21 career games, he has 14 touchdowns, Dave. That's pretty good.
He's great when he's on the field playing and participating, and this offense is perfect for him because Antonio Brown's there. He'll never see double coverage. I think it's going to be hard for him to have the safety over the top, and Roethlisberger will chuck the ball. Once he's reinstated, I think he's back in play as a top 35-ish fantasy football wide receiver.
Okay.
I'm not going to go much higher than that.
But he's got a lot more upside than 35.
Oh, yeah. He could finish in the top 20.
Yeah. Could he finish in the top 10?
With Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Did he do it the 1 year?
Well, he didn't play. He's only played 21 games in two seasons. So I think he played like 10. I don't remember, Dave. But no, I don't think so. Bryant really slumped toward the
His
end of the year.
His big year was what? 2014, right?
2015.
He's had a lot of great moments. He just hasn't been.
Right.
Able to play because
he
kind of broke out a little bit in 2015. Where did he finish? I'll look it up right now.
Yeah. All right. What's the quote?
It's not very good. I thought it was better. It's just all about right. his.
Well, make it up. Make it something great.
It's about his situation.
Martavis finished 33rd in non-PPR.
How many games?
11.
Right. So over 16 games, that's a top 20 guy for sure. Jamie, where do you expect Adrian Peterson to sign?
Two interesting things that came out of both of them NFC were the Giants and the Bucks. Now, Bob Quinn, the GM for the Lions, also, you know, made some headlines when he said he thinks he still has something left in the tank. Ben McAdoo was asked about Peterson. He talked about Peterson still being able to play. He was asked, would you sign him? He said, never say never.
I know Mike McCarthy brought his name up.
Mike McCarthy did as well, yes.
But he didn't really speak to it. He just mentioned he was a good player. They're familiar with him.
You know, you start to try and connect the dots with some of these things. Clearly, Romo and the Texans or Romo and the Broncos are easy to. Peterson, when the thought was they weren't going to pay him, he said the three teams he'd like to play for were the Texans, the Giants, and the Bucks. Texans clearly don't have an interest, but the Giants and the Bucks potentially do because Doug Martin suspended for the first three games, and they need some – maybe some life there, and the Giants have right now, you know, unproven second-year running back.
Please, no.
Paul Perkins. And so there was a report, I believe it was the Daily News, that said there's no chance the Giants would sign Peterson after the Josh Brown situation.
That's what I think.
A year ago. But it's hard to say, you know, that you would want to connect those two because they're so different, and one is somewhat fresh in Giants fans' minds, somewhat is, you know, clearly not as much with Peterson. But the Packers also losing Eddie Lacy and just having Ty Montgomery. It's funny, we're just doing the whole NFC thing.
Yeah,
here.
Let's go to the AFC. Let's go to the AFC.
Do you think Adrian Peterson gets signed before the draft? Because I bet there's a lot of teams that want to see what they get in the draft.
He sort of alluded to that himself when he said, you know, he's in a rush.
Right.
But that's bad for him.
I don't know if that's necessarily a desperate team.
I don't know if that's so bad for him, because let's just say the Giants make it through the draft without a running back. They just don't take one. They can call up AP's agent.
They don't need to in terms of the guys they have on their roster.
I don't think there's a team that needs one.
Oh, the Packers absolutely need a running back. They have two guys.
I think the Panthers need one. Like, teams need depth.
I just think that any team that misses on one of the running backs that they like in the draft can just go and sign.
I'm sure there's an AFC team that needs one, but who cares about the AFC, right? All right, now, so these are Jamie's takeaways. You can read the stories online. I'm going to throw it to you, though, Dave. So Jamie writes about Sammy Watkins and new coach Sean McDermott, confident that Sammy Watkins is going to be ready to go for the season, hoping for 16 games this year. He had, remember, second foot surgery after the season. Also, Jamie wrote about the Broncos quarterbacks, and right now they're saying they're sticking with what they have in Simeon and Paxton Lynch. So let me ask you, Dave Richard, who do you like better, Demaryius Thomas or Sammy Watkins?
I'll take Demaryius. He's healthier. He doesn't have the edge in the quarterback battle between these two. I'd like Tyrod Taylor better than what the Broncos have, but it's not that much better.
Yeah, both of them. Yes,
Tyrod over Trevor
it's
Siemian?
That much better.
I don't think it's that much
better. It's that much better.
It's not that
See, the
much.
Thing is...
How much is that much?
Based on the amount...
your size and Adam's size.
Based on the amount of times that Tyrod Taylor has thrown the ball, it's less of an advantage because they have been one of the most run-heavy teams 2 years in a row.
Part of that has to do
but
with
that could
the
change.
Coaching. Right.
It could change.
Well, wait, so it's based on the coach?
Yeah.
You're comparing the coaches. You know who the coach now is calling plays for Buffalo?
You know who the coach is calling plays for Denver? Mike McCoy.
Yeah, but the coach calling plays for Buffalo is the guy who was calling plays for Demaryius Thomas.
No, but what I'm saying is Buffalo had been second to last and last in the NFL.
Yeah, previously. But I'm saying now. The guy that's calling plays is the one that was just calling plays for Demaryius Thomas.
He wasn't calling the plays for Demaryius Thomas.
They might throw
it was Kubiak who was calling
He's
plays.
Part of the game plan.
But they might throw more.
He's ever called plays in his
I think
career.
You know what I'm saying. I'm saying the advantage at quarterback that Watkins has over Thomas was sort of minimalized. Is that the word I want to use? Minimize? I don't know. Made less by the fact that they didn't throw the ball that much.
Look, neither of these guys are big-time targets for your fantasy team, at least not yet. But I
think Watkins could be because you can get him like around later.
Yeah, and they're both.
I don't
think
you're getting him around later.
They're both in my top 30,
I feel
but
like
I've got
in the last draft. Thomas
well, I'm sorry. Thomas is falling to round 4. Watkins is falling to round 5.
I thought it was more like Thomas was in round 3.
You took
three
him in round 4, which was not a bad pick, but that's kind of I think where you're going to see these.
You're going to see Thomas go ahead of Watkins.
Yes.
So if you want
unless
Watkins is it, but I think there's more risk with Watkins.
Watkins shows up for training camp, no issues. Watkins makes one play in a preseason game. Watkins has more upside at this point than Demaryius Thomas does because we've seen Thomas for 2 years now with poor quarterback play. Peyton at the end of his career, the situation in Denver. His numbers haven't been awful. 90,005.
But it's not like he's been great for fantasy.
Right. He hasn't been the Demaryius Thomas that you saw when Peyton Manning was
True.
A superstar.
PPR, though, he could have a huge edge, right?
No, he's good.
No, I'm saying over Sammy Watkins.
Yes, no, he's
very
good.
Their profile is very different players.
Yes, he's as solid as you can find. But the upside factor, what we saw from Sammy Watkins, it's a very small sample size. It's about 9 games. At the end of the 2015 season, when he was right... When Tyrod Taylor was there, what he did over that period showed you why the Bills traded up to get him, showed you what his fantasy potential could be, and then he had the hip and the foot and everything fell apart for him. But if you track what happened to Dez Bryant, you throw Julio Jones in there too, guys with foot surgeries that have had the second procedure, certainly Dez and Edelman had in a very short time frame after they had the first one, they came back and they played well. Now, they didn't necessarily look explosive, because Edelman's not really an explosive guy, and Dez
just
had the knee injury.
Right.
But at the end of the year, Dez looked good, looked great in the playoffs, and Watkins at 23, he'll be 24 in June. The upside, to me, is off the charts. It's the type of risk-reward pick you make. To me, round 4 is the perfect spot for it. If you hit home runs on your first 3 picks, at least in your mind, round 4, round 5, if you can get that guy after getting 2 running backs, a receiver, whatever else, you know, however your team starts, I think that could be a winning move for you, but it just depends on how much you want to take that risk.
It depends on who else is available in those rounds, too, and how you went about building your
team.
Yeah,
you're down on Watkins, and I understand it. A lot of people are because of the injuries, and you don't love Tyrod Taylor and all those things. But
I don't mind Tyrod Taylor.
No, I'm just saying, not you, just the thought of it.
The the thing that I just have an issue with is even if he goes through training camp in the preseason and he looks great and he's making plays, there's no guarantee he doesn't hurt himself again later in the year.
But then you say the same thing about
Dez. And we can say that about any player.
You say it about
– I don't know if I say that about
Dez. Yeah, but Dez has been more – as banged up as Watkins has.
Sure.
With different injuries.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, but it's – maybe it's just more of a matter of what have you done for me lately, and Dez has done it for people lately, whereas Sammy hasn't. So maybe that's what's weighing me down a little bit between those two wide receivers. Sure.
Well, Watkins, just to give an idea of what the upside is in fantasy terms, 2015, as Jamie mentioned, he had a great stretch. But even if you want to take one, earlier in the season he wasn't doing quite as much. 13 games, Sammy Watkins was the number 14 wide receiver. You take his 13-game production, give him 16 games that year, and Sammy Watkins would have been the number 7 wide receiver in fantasy.
And he was hurt that year, too.
He averaged more fantasy points per game than Doug Baldwin did, and that was when Baldwin had his ridiculous.
He had a calf injury to start the year, and he's just been banged up. You know, he could be one of these guys that just doesn't deal well with the elements. You know, cold weather affects your body; don't stretch as much. You know, there are a lot of things he needs to do. But I just think if he comes into camp, you see that guy on the field because he had the hip, the foot, all these things the last couple of years. It's going to get people excited. I hope he doesn't get overvalued, but this could be his best year to date.
He still has the hip and the foot, like they're.
Part of his body?
Yeah, exactly. All right.
What connects them? The hip bones connected to the
foot bone, right. Something like that. So
that's small legs, if that's the case.
Jamie wrote a lot about running
like
backs, not surprisingly. Tennessee coach Mike Mularkey saying DeMarco Murray is the workhorse, and you know he definitely complimented Derrick Henry, but made it clear Murray is the number one guy. Actually, one of the more interesting things I read was you saying that Tennessee's offensive line was number one last year, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yes, they had, and I thought it was an underrated line. Prior to last year, you know, we talk about Oakland and the improvements they made. Obviously, Dallas, and they just keep adding pieces to it, and it's great. And
yeah, so, they've invested a lot in first round draft picks, so it makes sense.
It's a very good line, and I think that helps the DeMarco Murray cause because at 29, he's got 1,000 plus carries. In the regular season over the last 3 years, you know, he had a big carry year last year, had the monster carry year in 2014. Obviously, we know with Philly, it wasn't as much, 193 carries that year. But I think you look at Murray is – I put him in the bust column just because I get to
it
this level.
It feels like it's going to happen.
Right. I feel strongly about him being more of a bust guy than LeSean McCoy, even though they're kind of the same, because of Henry. Because, you know, while Mike Gillisley played well last year, he profiles as a backup. Derrick Henry profiles as a potential starter. You know, and Mularkey talked about this. Mike Mularkey is a straight shooter. Andy Reid, you could kind of see some coach speak. Mularkey, you know, he you could see. DeMarco's our guy. You know, there was no sugarcoating it. And so he had the foot problem, toe problem toward the end of last year, and Henry got 8-plus carries, I think, 4 of his final 5 games. And he looked okay in that role. But if he goes down, if DeMarco Murray goes down, Derrick Henry's going to be a start. We've talked about, you know, in the mock draft, you know, where he's been going, round 6, round 7.
Right. But making that commitment to get both of those guys pushes me away from the table.
Not for me.
Not for me either.
This is kind of like the Azer strategy with wide receivers.
But you're talking about Murray in round 2. And then Henry, I think you got to go round 6.
No.
I don't.
I think you do.
Like, once it gets to round 7, I think it's definitely worth it. We're talking 12.
You better have
leagues.
The first pick in round 7.
I've been skipping. I don't draft Murray. So Murray was awesome. For the first 8 games.
Well, you say you don't draft Murray. If you pick early in round 1 and then he's there early round 3, you're taking
him. Oh, round 3, yeah. But I would take Carlos Hyde over him, which I think is pretty, I'm guessing, an unpopular opinion.
It just depends on how you feel about guys that get older.
Yeah,
and two guys burned a lot of fantasy owners last year with Peterson and Charles.
The thing about Murray is he's played 14, 16, 15, and 16 games in his last 4 seasons, but he got banged up midway through the year at that injury on the Thursday night game, and after the injury,
it was week 11.
No, I don't.
The
think
toe
so.
Injury was week 11.
I think it was the Thursday night game against Jacksonville. He left that game with an injury. Well, anyway, the last 8 games of the season, he averaged 4 yards per carry. I thought that was. And with only 3 touchdowns.
But he was 4.4 on the whole year.
And he was 4.7 in the first 8 games. He was dominant. And then the last 8 games, he was 4 yards per carry, 3.99. I thought it was the – I remember him leaving that game with an injury, and Henry finished it, Thursday nighter. Either way, even though he's been playing, I still think Murray is a logical guy to think he'll get banged up. So that's why I've been
I feel
scared.
Like he's one of the running backs that you'll take as a number one option for your fantasy team, but you won't love it. You settle for him.
But when he's healthy, I don't think a lot of people, again.
Well, he's been
sure,
very good.
But I don't think anybody's counting on that.
Very good and very underrated as a receiver. This is now two of the last 3 years with at least 50 catches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Henry
had 44 catches in Philly.
Right. Henry doesn't really profile as that. You know, he was, I think, a surprise that he had the 13 catches last year. And so you just look at, though, but good offensive line. You know, if he stays healthy, Murray's going to be a steal in round two because of what he did last year and what he did 2 years ago.
That's
yeah,
true.
3 years
yeah.
ago, excuse me.
I just hate all the draft capital you have to throw into those two players.
All right. We're going to come back to all this stuff. I have some random owners' meetings questions for you.
Okay.
Best meal you ate?
A Mexican twice, and both were very good. Once for lunch, once for dinner.
So, like Chipotle?
No, Moe's.
burrito?
I went taco both times. One was Monday afternoon, and one was Tuesday night.
Soft shell, hard shell?
Soft shell.
Yeah, that's the only way to go.
What did the league serve you at the luncheon or at the party?
Oh, it's buffet. So you just kind of.
But they had like a carving station. And
they had a carving station.
So they took care of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's for everybody.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's mostly for Jamie.
I don't think it's.
They had a potato bar.
We better do it right for Jamie.
They had a potato bar.
We're going to screw up his travel plans after the meeting.
Mashed potato bar was good.
Mashed potato bars are nice.
Yes.
Yeah, they're fun.
They had a waffle station for the kids.
Ooh. Did you have a waffle?
No. They had sushi.
I would have borrowed a kid just so I could have a waffle.
Sushi bar? Well, you could just
you
do
are
yourself.
The kid.
Yeah, it's true. Most quotable coach?
This is hard for me to answer because I don't spend a lot of time with each coach. So I will say, wrong conference, but I really enjoyed Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. Shanahan told a great story about when he was a kid, I don't know, a kid in high school, he would sneak into meeting rooms with his dad, and then he would go back and watch tape. And he said he was still trying to be a player at that time, so he was looking to things that would help him, but he goes, in actuality, he was already coaching at that point. It was a really fun story to listen
to. That's cool.
And McVay just so composed and just very well-spoken. Like, if you were just to put him behind a wall, he sounds young, but he's
smarter than what his age.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, very handles himself just very, very well.
Team name alert. Oi McVay.
My grandmother would probably name her fantasy team that.
Okay, next question. Favorite media member you socialized with?
Aside from Pete?
Yeah.
And Jason Lockenfora?
Yeah, non-CBS.
Non-CBS? I ran into Kim Jones of the NFL Network at the airport. We both had red-eye flights. Hers was direct, mine was not. So we watched the Spurs-Warriors game.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, she's a longtime Yankees reporter and covers a lot of the Giants and Jets and a lot of the league. So interesting to hear, you know, her stories, which was cool.
All right, last one's personal. Everybody can answer. Do you sleep with a shirt off in a hotel bedroom, or are you too skeeved out? Because I get a little skeeved out.
I go topless.
I usually always sleep with a shirt on, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I usually sleep with a shirt on only in a hotel. I guess it skews me up.
Why bother staying in a hotel?
I mean, what choice do I have?
You think because they don't clean the sheets?
I know they clean the sheets, but it's just the thought that other people have been there, and I don't know. I like be kind of clothed. Okay, so thank you.
Do you shower at hotels?
I do, but
so you're in the same room.
I like to shower with sandals if
as
I can.
Millions of other naked people.
Yeah, it's really.
It's possible you and I have showered in the same hotel shower.
All right. Have you ever showered in the office here? Because I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I used
That's
to play.
That's where I change and put like stuff on for videos.
I used to play basketball.
I showered there too.
Oh my! Oh.
All right.
Now I feel a little weird.
We've shared a shower.
Okay, so back to football. Let's see what we got here. What did you think about Chargers coach Anthony Lynn and what he said about his running game?
It was, you know, I think the way I framed the story was probably more exaggerated than it was, but I was doing it for effect. He was being asked about his backups, and, you know, he mentioned everybody but Melvin Gordon. And so then I was like, Melvin's still your guy, right? And he was like, yeah, of course. I'm really excited about him. You know, he talked about his – there are not a lot of contact, air quotes, with the players until OTA start. But he's like, I look outside my window, and there he is, working out, going up hills, pushing sleds. Right, you haven't talked to him at all.
yeah.
So Anthony Lynn's got a great track record with running backs. He's spent 14, I think it's either 14 years or 14 running backs that have had over 1,000 yards. I think it's 14 years as an offense coordinator or running backs coach.
Wow.
And he's coached guys like Jamal Lewis, LeSean McCoy, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, he's got a good track record of some big, high-profile guys. And so Melvin Gordon is somebody I think that can, you know, have the same type of – you like to see a better yards per carry. You know, he's under 4 yards per carry last year, under 1,000 yards.
Kind of weird to think about that, right? Because that he was under 4 yards per carry.
Yes.
We don't usually draft a guy in the first or early second round who is under 4 yards per carry.
No. Now, this is an AFC team that will add a running back, and he talked about that. You know, so they're not done, but they're not looking for a they're not looking for a replacement. They're looking for a complement because, as we know, Danny Woodhead's gone, and their number two guy right now is between Andre Williams, Kenyon Barner, and Brandon Oliver.
And it's gross that he averaged 3.9 yards per carry. He averaged 10.2 yards per catch.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I know, but I do think that if you don't like Melvin Gordon, it's easy to make a case against
right.
him.
Right. Well, you just circle the 3.9 and you circle the touchdowns. How many touchdowns they have? 10 last year on the ground?
You circle the total touches and just say, like, and the touchdowns. Say he's just, law of averages, not going to be as productive unless he's better on a per carry right. basis. I don't know how I feel yet. I kind of feel like I'm going to evolve on that
his
one.
His yards per yards after contact was good, not great.
Doesn't he look good though? Doesn't he like pass the eyeball
test?
Oh
yeah, and this offense is loaded. I mean, you talk about Keenan Allen coming back and Hunter Henry, you know, taking the next step. They kept Gates. Tyrell Williams looked really good last year.
Travis Benjamin has speed. I don't like him for fantasy, but he takes the top off the defense.
Absolutely.
Pushes those safeties back. Makes it easier for Gordon.
That's what I wrote about, you know, was just all the options that they have, and it's just, it's hard to defend them, you know. So you put an extra defender at the line of scrimmage to try and stop Gordon, which, you know, could have been the case last year because they lose Allen and Gates is not exactly, you know, fleet of foot anymore. Nobody knew what Hunter Henry was capable of, and you know Rivers will still be able to beat you, you know. So he's another good quarterback to wait for.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, where do you have Philip Rivers?
He's outside of my top 12.
He's 15 right now for me, but I wouldn't have a problem taking him at a Cam. He's better than
Cam
last year.
I agree.
Like, do you think? Okay, it's March 30th right now. Over the next few months, you're just going to start thinking, like, man, I really should have Rivers higher. Because Rivers was number 7 or 8 last year. And
6, I think.
6, sure. Yeah. Maybe Bortles was 7. They were back-to-back. And it's like, damn, this team has one of the best receiving units. And did you even mention Hunter Henry?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. They did. We say it a lot. They've got an amazing talent.
He was 4,700-plus yards, 33 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
It's a huge
year. Basically 4,500 yards and 30-plus touchdowns year after year, or 35 touchdowns year after year. You just have to wonder, like, he's getting to that point, and it's funny, we don't really say it with Tom Brady, who's 40, but Philip Rivers is 35. I believe he'll be 36 by the time the season starts. And you just wonder if what we've seen from him, great first half, poor second half. Does that start to catch up to him? Does it creep into the first half a little bit too?
Only 2 games last year. We started the podcast talking about quarterbacks with games over 25 fantasy points per. He only had 2.
Really?
And they were both done by week 5.
Interesting.
His highest point was 25 in week 12 after that. And that was the only time he was over or even at 25.
Right, but is it a fair assessment of him when he loses, you know, his quote-unquote number one receiver after week 1? And then one of his best weapons in week 2 with Woodhead and Keenan Allen going out. So the fact that he still finished with those numbers.
And he finished 7th among quarterbacks last year.
The fact that he finished with those numbers speaks volumes to, you know, what he could potentially do with Williams in his 3rd year, with Allen back, with Henry improving, with Gates still a red zone threat. You know,
What's that offensive line looking like?
That's certainly an issue.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, there's more on the website. And maybe we'll even be able to get to more. This quote from Bill O'Brien about Lamar Miller. Quote, I was very, very happy with Lamar Miller. I think of so many things that he did for our team. First of all, he's a pro. He shows up every day. He works hard. He's out at practice. He plays hurt. Had a banged up shoulder, banged up ankle, and played with it. Tough, tough guy. That's Bill O'Brien on Lamar Miller. So that was pretty interesting. And there are 2 things here. Like, obviously they like him and they're invested in Lamar Miller, but we were worried about him handling a workload that he had never handled before, and he was banged up. So maybe Lamar Miller, just saying, worst case scenario is that maybe Lamar Miller is not meant to be a workhorse running back.
Well, I pressed him on that. You know, I said, do you feel like you managed his workload well? And he's like, yeah, I need to do a better job of that. He said, that's on me. He had, if I remember the numbers correctly, two times in his first 4 years, two games with 20-plus carries in his career with Miami. I think he did seven times last year, six or seven times last year with the Texans. So that's a big leap, you know, to have to do that in the course of a game. The biggest factor for him, and he missed two games last year. You know, if you recall, at the end of the season, he was hurt. They had their playoff spot locked up. They benched him, you know, essentially to keep him ready for that first-round playoff game. And he looked okay against the Raiders. Scored a touchdown in the game, if I recall.
Such a memorable game, Jamie.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Lamar Miller, by the way, I think he was the number 17 running back
yes.
in fantasy. Yeah, he was.
So where can he be this year? Two things that work in his favor. One is a hope that they get Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Two is we drafted him somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 12, depending on how early running backs went.
Loved
in your
him.
Draft last year. He was his ADP was 12, but he was the sixth running back off the board. Now you're talking about him being somewhere between the ninth through the 12th running back, most likely off the board, depending on where you compare him to Gurley, to Hyde, to DeMarco Murray. It's much better value. He could fall to the third round in some situations. You know, probably PPR, he falls in the third round. That's a steal.
He
in
just
my
needs
opinion.
To score. He scored five rushing touchdowns, one receiving last year.
Yeah, he had eight each of his last 2 years in Miami.
299 total touches and six touchdowns. Like, that's just. But their offense sucked.
But that's
so
also
it made
right.
sense.
If the quarterback play improves, there's just a lot to like about him. And, well, this is another team. You know, I don't know where they are with their backups. Is it going to be Alfred Blue and Jonathan Grimes in that group again? Or is this another team that, you know, adds somebody? They did draft Tyler Irvin last year, but he's not really a guy you can get carries to.
So, Dave, I told you I was going to reveal something to you.
A mind-blowing development.
I told him. I watched a movie last week, a movie I hadn't seen in a long time, and I never really liked it. Changing my mind.
Hold on. Before you say it.
What's going on?
Before you say it.
Okay.
Why?
I'm waiting.
Just keep selling.
Stopping. So, I was like, you know, I never really got into it.
Is someone about to pop out of a cake? What's happening here?
Always about cake with you, Dave.
I don't even like cake.
You don't like cake?
Oh.
I like Star
now
Wars.
Now we're going to get sued.
I like Star Wars.
Oh,
now.
Well, welcome back to, you know, whatever the whole world thinks. So
yeah.
What?
I don't know if people can hear it, but Jamie's playing this Star Wars music.
There it is. We're getting sued.
I hadn't seen it since I was
Why
a
are we
kid.
Getting sued?
Because we don't own the rights to that song.
It's okay. Fair use.
It's on YouTube.
I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. I didn't like it. I thought it was a boring movie. And I tried to watch it, I think in like high school again, I was bored. So I watched it again. They did a marathon on TNT or something like that. I DVR'd the original three, four, five, and six, episodes four, five, and six. And I really liked it. I was like.
You watched all three?
No, I'll get to that. I watched A New Hope and I was like, I get it. I understand. It wasn't an amazing movie because it's so dated now, but it was really good. And C-3PO. What a warrior, huh? Oh, wow. That Vader guy, he's very, very mean guy. Now, I got into it, and I really wanted to watch Empire Strikes Back, but I set my DVR to only keep things for 2 weeks. So by the time I got back from Orlando for my trip, it had deleted, and I don't have Empire Strikes Back. So I'm trying to get that somehow. But, yeah, I'm pretty into it.
You know what's faster than the Millennium Falcon?
What?
Your credibility when it comes to movies. It's flying out the window.
Why?
Because you're changing your mind and you should have never had that opinion in the first place. I feel like you didn't like Star Wars because everybody else
Oh,
did.
Absolutely not.
I feel
absolutely
like
not.
That's what's going
Since
on.
Since you saw New Hope, go see Rogue One now.
Before I see Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, has nothing to do with it.
But it has something
to
do
with I hear Rogue
One's
pretty good.
A New Hope.
Rogue One's amazing.
It's very good.
It's not dated, obviously.
And the first three, I don't need to watch.
Don't
right?
watch
the
them.
Episodes no. one through three.
Don't watch them.
Okay.
If you want to watch five and six, it's fine, but you don't need to.
I was going to get...
two and three, excuse me.
Like episodes five and... Oh, you know, two and three.
Yes.
I was going to get Empire Strikes Back on Amazon Prime, but it was $20. No thanks.
You can just borrow mine.
I would love to borrow yours. Can you bring it in tomorrow?
When are you going to give it back to me?
I will mail it to you.
I don't know if I like
it. I'll get it from the wedding.
Yeah, or just wait till the summer. I'll be back in May.
Well, what if I want to watch it?
You're not going to watch it. Give me a break.
I might.
I'll mail it back to you.
You have to pay me.
$20?
$19.50.
All right, let's read emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is the email address. This is from Tucker from?
Belglade, Florida.
Tucker's in a dynasty league. Who has higher upside, Jameis Winston or Derek Carr?
Winston.
First of all, I'm proud of us for not even mentioning the Raiders' move to Las Vegas at any point during this show.
Because and they're in the AFC.
And it has nothing to do with fantasy football.
It's not happening. And it's not happening for
it's
3 years.
For years.
It might when players get suspended.
I still think Carr. I think Carr's ceiling is a little higher.
Oh, come on. His ceiling is higher?
I think his ceiling is
higher.
No. I think he could be one of these rock and roll 5,000.
And Jameis can't?
I think he could, but I think Carr could do it more often. I like Carr just a little bit better.
I don't have a problem saying Carr's better. Jameis has a higher ceiling, though.
Do you feel like maybe Jameis has a higher ceiling, but Carr is more likely to reach his ceiling?
Yes, that's how I feel. Exactly. Yes.
Sure. That's why you'll take Carr.
I would take Carr in a dynasty league over Winston.
I'll take Winston.
But if it's just upside? But Winston has more downside, doesn't he?
I don't mind targeting either one of these guys in a dynasty league, and then when one gets taken, you'd go with the other.
Okay. This is Paul. Paul How Now Brown Cow from Lake Elmo, Minnesota.
Say his last name.
Risveld.
Risved.
Risved. Oh, why'd I put an L in there?
You didn't.
I did. I said Risveld.
You didn't put an L in there.
I did. Why did I say it out loud?
What do you think Lake Elmo is like this time of year?
He says, hey, Leonardo, who's Jamie apparently, Michelangelo, Adam, and Donatello, Dave. This pisses me off. I hate Michelangelo. Michelangelo's the worst Ninja Turtle by far.
Why?
He's like a loser. I don't like Michelangelo. I'm clearly Raphael. How come Cooper and Bryant are ranked so high? I feel like it's off of name and expecting a vast improvement for next year. Amari had a sophomore slump. Dez was really bad last year. Disagree. What makes you guys believe in them being top picks to wide receiver position? Cooper and Dez Bryant.
Cooper is kind of more, I think, off reputation than production. Because we sit here and talk about Emmanuel Sanders and how he wasn't consistent. And, you know, some of these guys who just don't do it week in, week out. That was Cooper last year. Excuse me.
He was straight up bad.
Crabtree was more consistent
for like the last half of the year. Or that was maybe 2 years ago.
2 years ago, he had the foot injury and he wasn't very good at the end of the season. But this is, you know, kind of, does he take that next step in his third year? That would be the hope.
Dez
has been, you know, I think people look at the beginning of last year. You know, he didn't have the touchdown in the week one game against the Giants, so that hurt his fantasy value. And then he had the knee injury. But when he came back from the injury, he was good and he was great in the playoffs. I think he's finally getting back to the level he was at.
The one thing I'm worried about with Cooper is finding those touchdowns, which we've talked about for, it seems like, 2 years now. Not a big red zone.
Well, if his quarterback had a higher ceiling, maybe he would.
Here are the fantasy points for Dez Bryant in the last.
Jameis gets Mike Evans in the end zone.
His last 8 or 9 games, not including week 17 where they barely played. Dez Bryant in standard scoring league scored 17 fantasy points. Somehow he scored one fantasy point at Cleveland. That was weird. Then he scored 17. Then he scored 20. Then he scored 7. Then he scored 14. So huge production there for 6 straight weeks. And then the last 3 games of the season, -1 point at the Giants, if you recall. Janoris Jenkins shut him down and forced a fumble in the last play of the game. Tampa Bay, he scored 8 fantasy points and 25 fantasy points against Detroit. That is tremendous production except for 2 games, which will happen to any receiver, basically, for 8 straight games, 8 or 9 games. So, yeah, Dez, I think we would have to disagree with you on that one. All right, the next email is from Devin from Como. He says, Dear Duke, Count, and Satchmo. I don't know who they are. I've been wondering how you've been feeling about, and this one I wasn't even aware of this either. Is this like another Dez Bryant sucks thing? I was wondering how you are feeling about Dalvin Cook's terrible performance at the Combine. Did he have a bad combine?
He did.
Is Fournette or Joe Mixon now the clear best running back in the draft?
I'm never going to downgrade anybody because of a bad combine.
He's got some off-field stuff, though, that is starting to make some waves.
Perhaps.
That may knock him out of the first round.
I'd be stunned if he fell out of the first round.
I would as well, but, you know, you talk to some writers, you talk to some personnel people, mm-hmm. They're a little bit nervous.
I think he makes sense in Tampa Bay, like, because Jameis had the same concerns, and they're former teammates, and it's not leaving the state. I just feel like it would make sense for Cook. But you're not going to downgrade him based on the combine day of you?
No. No.
No, but I think Fournette's always been considered better than him. You may have some people that think otherwise, but the general consensus, every mock draft
I think
you
otherwise.
See,
every I'm not sure how I feel. I haven't watched
every mock draft
Fournette.
You see Fournette's going ahead of him.
You know why I don't like the stupid reason why I don't like Fournette that much? Because I don't watch all that much non-ACC college football anymore. But every time I watch Fournette, he's playing Alabama, and he always did badly against Alabama. So it's dumb. You know, obviously, I should probably be higher on Fournette. And I don't really care. I don't really take my opinion seriously anymore. Because what the hell do I? I'm not a scout. So
there's very, very slim point, whatever percent margin that Mixon is going ahead of Dalvin Cook.
Agreed. I do love Dalvin Cook.
McCaffrey?
McCaffrey might.
I've seen a lot of Dalvin Cook, and I just think he's a tremendous player.
I agree.
Tremendous player.
And what happens off the field, like, I understand that that's a reason why a team would want to knock him down. But strictly on field, he is made for this brand of NFL football. Mm-hmm.
All right, last email is from Thomas. Now, I want to remind everybody. He says, "Dear Cameron, Cyrus, and Johnny." Can you look this up?
Yeah.
I mean, I want people to get their due for these vague references. Last week, we read about a trade.
Oh, that's Conair.
How did you get that?
You were thinking of Cyrus.
Yeah, Cyrus.
Cyrus the virus?
That's Conair.
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you just know Cyrus. Okay. Original trade. So last week, we read this trade, right? It was Andy Dalton, Will
Wasn't
Fuller.
Wasn't Cameron Poe?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Andy Dalton.
And who's Johnny?
Will Fuller and Max Williams. And the first pick of the second round for Matt Ryan and the fifth pick of the first round. And we said, this is a dumb trade. You can't do it. It should be vetoed, right? It was Dalton, Fuller, Max Williams, and the first pick of the second round for Matt Ryan and the fifth pick of the first round. So Thomas, who the Con Air fan, very upset that we said veto it. He said, way to be prisoners of the moment. That trade involving Williams.
Prisoners. Con Air.
Nice. You ever see the movie Prisoners?
No, but I have seen Con Air.
Is that with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good, right?
One of my favorites. It is Silence of the Lambs 20 years later. It is awesome. That trade involving Williams and Dalton should not be vetoed and is not a terrible trade considering Dalton was better than Ryan 2 years ago. You guys gave up on Matt Ryan 6 months ago, and now because of one season which he was great, which Dalton has done before, you want to veto a trade. That trade can work out for the Dalton owner if 2015 repeats itself instead of 2016.
Stop. Does anybody here think that 2015 for Andy Dalton is going to repeat itself?
No.
Jamie?
No, but.
Always a but.
When he's had when he's had his weapons.
He's good. Yeah.
So are
he's
you not, saying yes or no?
I don't think he's going to do that, but I think.
I think his best year is behind him. I think Matt Ryan can still have very productive years for fantasy. Go ahead.
Oh, Andy Dalton can still too, though. That's not fair to say.
Do you think Andy Dalton finishes as a top five fantasy quarterback ever again?
No, but I never thought he was going to do it any of the years that he did either.
Do you think Matt Ryan can finish as a top five? Well, that's true.
We were wrong about Matt Ryan. Okay, the fact that
it wouldn't surprise me if Matt Ryan had another top five finish.
The fact that we gave up on Matt Ryan too early should not influence this trade.
I also think Matt Ryan's value is higher now.
Now, this is a good point, though. Also, Will Fuller is better than any wide receiver you will get at the fifth pick of round one in a
rookie,
I'm guessing it was the
draft.
Rookie draft, right? Yeah. In the rookie-only draft. And you get a young tight end with upside and the first pick of the second round in the rookie draft. Also, trade.
You're still calling Max Williams tight end with upside?
No, that's the thing.
He's a tight end with two X's in his first name.
Also, trades should never be vetoed unless there's collusion. It's not
that
your job.
I agree with.
It's not your job to manage other teams, which the emailer is clearly trying to do, saying his league is going crazy over the trade. Be careful what you say because people rely on you as the voice in the industry. Ooh, harsh email.
That
here.
Is, wow. Now I feel like there's gravitas behind what we say.
Adam, do you like pizza or steak?
Pizza. I had pizza last
Dave,
night.
Dave, do you like Giordano's or Lou Malnati's?
Giordano's.
So you have an opinion on something, right? Somebody asked you a question.
I see.
I mean, that's what we're at. Somebody asked us a question.
Did you ask me that because you had Giordano's in Chicago this morning?
No, I went from one end of O'Hare to the other, and I got on a plane.
Did we go too far saying the trade should be vetoed? maybe. But I will also say that you like a lot of your arguments, Thomas, I think are a little too strong. Max Williams is not a tight end with upside. And Will Fuller is not necessarily better than the fifth pick in your Dynasty League. Like, if the first three picks of the Dynasty League this year are the three running backs, the second wide receiver could definitely be better than
Will Fuller. Absolutely. It's going to be either Mike Williams or Corey Davis.
That could be Joe Mixon.
Could be Joe Mixon as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So maybe we went too far, but that's a terrible trade.
It still feels like you're not getting what you should for Matt Ryan.
Not to rehash it, I think we gave some parameters about what this trade could be to make it fair.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, like Fuller and the pick for the pick, whatever it was, you know, so.
Yeah. All right, listen.
There are ways to make it work.
We appreciate it, Thomas. It's all good. Fist pump. Podcast fist pump. I actually did the fist pump.
You're fist bumping the screen that you spit on.
So we should talk about Star Wars. We should do that off the air because we're done for the day. We're back tomorrow with maybe NFC. Maybe we'll just talk about the AFC tomorrow. Who knows? For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. See you then.
Hey, bye.